got to stand here and look cute, and that's pretty easy for y'all. It ain't like y'all are just, you know, y'all are just really...
You don't have to sit yourself all the way.
Good morning. What a great way to start worship. Come on, Natalie. And by the way, y'all are disturbing mine and Natalie and Ellie's fun that we're having up here. We're really having a good time, and we kind of had to quit doing that to come do the baptism. So y'all are disturbing our good, fun time that we're having. What a great way to start worship, and especially in the second worship service. So I was really excited a couple of weeks ago when Natalie was saying to her mama, we want to be baptized in the 10:30 worship. And I was like, great, because most of the baptisms, as you well know, happen in the early worship. And so a lot of times you don't get to see these baptisms other than when Paul takes pictures and we get to show them to you in worship. So excited that Ellie and Natalie have come today in the 10:30 worship to start this worship service off with baptism. Now, I baptized their older sister, Kennedy, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And so 2 weeks ago, when Natalie and Ellie were at Strength to Stand with Warren and Heather, they made their public professions of faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And then last week, they came forward here at their in front of the early worship church and made those professions of faith public. And so now here we are with the two youngest brown girls, Ellie and Natalie, coming today saying they've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord and now going to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. These two young ladies, they have been a part of this church literally since the day they were born. We have watched them run and kick through this church and everywhere we could have in this church. They've been a part of Wednesday nights. They've been a part of Sunday school. They've been a part of Vacation Bible School. Both of them sang in the choir. They've been a part of this church literally since the day they were born. And they've heard us in all of these different areas and places say, girls, the most important decision you can make is to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. They're following through with what we have taught them from the day that they were born and coming now to make that public profession of their faith in Jesus today. So we're going to baptize Ellie and Natalie. So first I'm going to baptize Ellie. All right. Ellie, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Natalie, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, how exciting for these two young ladies to come today to be baptized. All of God's people said together, Amen.
That is a great way to begin our worship service today. We love those girls and their family, and so excited to see what God is doing in their life. Let's stand as we sing our opening song of worship, Revive Us Again, hymn number 434. Again, that's our prayer today as we sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, revive us again. I hope that that's your prayer, and so it's good to see you. Welcome to First Baptist Church. This is our 10:30 traditional worship service, and we are glad that you are here. So as we welcome one another, would you greet one another in the name of the Lord as you shake hands and greet one another in Jesus' name. trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His cross, just to know the sin. Amen. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I love You more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. Our ensemble's been working on a special for us today called More About Jesus. So let's worship the Lord together as this group sings.
Oh,
Jesus. And because we know more and more about Jesus and His Word, we can follow Him, trust, and obey. And that's usually an invitation song in our church. But today, because of where Joel's going in the message, we're going to sing this for our offertory song. So let's stand together as we sing this hymn, 571, Trust and Obey.
Day. Lord, we thank you for these young ladies who were baptized this morning, surrendering their life to you, and Lord, making a public acknowledgement today that they will trust and obey, and Lord, we pray that you will have us to do the same in our daily lives, but just trust and obey. Lord, we're so thankful for all the things you do for us, all the many blessings. Lord, we ask you to take these tithes and offerings and bless them back right into your kingdom, Lord, and and just help it grow. And above all, God, just use it as you would to touch so many lives that need to be touched. Thank you, Lord, for all of our many blessings. In your Son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, choir. We are going to land at the end of this sermon right there. That's where we're going to end today, with what the choir was singing about. You know, in the early worship this morning, Ken's leading us in this new song, Act Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly. So we've been singing it for the past couple of weeks in our early worship. And it is such a powerful song. And, of course, it's in a totally different style. You got the praise team up here. You got the praise band. The drums are playing. I mean, it just couldn't be any more different than what we do here. But that song and the lyrics of that song is so strong and so powerful. And so powerful for the word for the day. And then I have the great privilege, and it really is, and I'm not trying to talk anybody into coming to both worship services. That's not my point. So I'm not trying to get anybody to come to both. If I was you, I would pick one too. But it is a privilege for me to be able to come to both, because then I come into this worship service after having baptism, which is great, and then to hear the choir do that song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us, totally could not be any different, Ken. Oh my gosh. I mean, just so reverent and so powerful, and the lyrics just so strong and powerful and moving. And so to go from to drums and guitars and praise team, and it's great. And then to come to this one, and then Karen playing on the piano and the choir singing that anthem. My goodness, what a great day. Everything, though, the point I'm making is, everything that we've been singing about, both worship services, point to one thing. Point to what God has done for us in Jesus, and then what is our response? How are we obedient to the call of God through His Word, through the power of prayer? So Matthew chapter 1 is our passage for today. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And I said in the early worship, I realize that it's February. I realize it's not December. I'm not that bad off. I know that this is typically a Christmas passage of Scripture, and that we're not in December. I get that. It's February. But you're going to see here in just a few minutes why we are on Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Because we're really talking about today, we're talking about the obedience of Joseph. And what he really believed at first. But then he changed his heart. Something changed him. What changed Joseph to where he went from wanting to go in this direction to now go in this direction and to be obedient to the Father? Over the past several weeks, we have talked about the power of prayer and the power of the Word. The power of prayer in our lives, and then the power of Word to guide us and to direct us. And we talked about over these weeks in Psalm 119 and Psalm chapter 1, we talked about this two-railed train track. And that was the visual, that was the illustration, a two-rail train track, and there's two-rail train track, prayer and the Word, leading us to where God wants us to be, leading us God's desire, God's design, God's will for our lives. So I meant that individually for me, individually for you. We mean that as a church, we mean that as the body of Christ in every way possible, so all the way from us as individuals, and my own individual spiritual life, all the way down to our church, to the body of Christ. In 2023, God is guiding and directing all of us as a church, as individuals, and we want to know where that is and where that's going. And so that two-rail train track, prayer and the Word, will take us there, because my conclusion was this. You cannot, and I cannot, none of us, if you know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you cannot go where God wants you to go. You cannot be who God wants you to be. You cannot travel down the road that God wants you to travel down without prayer and the Word, period. It's just virtually impossible to just not have prayer, not have the Word as guidance and direction, and still wind up where God wants you to be. The only way you're going to be who God wants you to be, go where God wants you to go, is through the power of prayer and the Word. While I was working through that in the fall, I kept asking myself the question, because I cannot agree more with what I've just said and what I preached over the past 4 weeks. But at the same time, I kept asking myself the question, all right, so if anybody in the church, early worship, late worship, if anybody's like me, they're going to ask this question. Okay, I get it. I don't disagree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. But what does it look like? Show me. Show me, what does it actually look like for somebody to have the power of prayer and the power of the Word as guidance and direction? What does that look like in a person's life? What's the illustration? Show me what that actually looks like, because I can say it all day long from even myself, but I want to know visually in my own head, my own mind's eye, I want to know, well, what does that actually look like? And that's brought us to where we are today. So that's kind of the guidance of this next series. Max Lucado started writing books in 1985, and he has written about 100 books. So that's a lot of writing. That's about two and a half, three books a year. That's a lot of writing. He is still on staff at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, and his actual title now, he started there in 1988. He's still on staff there. His title now is called Minister of Writing and Preaching. So basically, it's all he does anymore is he writes and he preaches. And he has written a lot. He's written inspirational books. He has written children's books. He has written fiction. He has written, he's been the general editor for 3 different Bibles. So he has accomplished a lot and done a lot since 1985, when he started writing in 1988, when he started preaching at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio. And I would dare say that probably everybody in this congregation has at least heard the name Max Lucado, or most of you, with all of that writing, most of you have probably read a devotional, or even somebody after the early worship came up to me and said, and showed me the Bible that they had where he was the general editor, where I mentioned earlier. So a Bible, read a book, know of his name, probably very familiar with the name Max Lucado. He wrote a book back in 2008 entitled Cast of Characters, Common People in the Hands of an Uncommon God. Cast of Characters, Common People in the Hands of an Uncommon God. And it's one of my favorites that he's written. And the reason why it's one of my favorites is because it's each chapter, there's about 23 chapters, and each chapter is a different character in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. And each chapter, this is perfectly set up for me, each chapter is only about 3 or 4 pages long. And he doesn't write all of this information about this character. There might be 50 other things about this character, but he just takes one thing about that one character, and he just drives it home through this narrative style. The reason I like the book so much is because he does a masterful job at putting me in the story. As I'm reading the story about Joseph or Peter or Job or Moses, if I'm reading the story that he does such a masterful job of making me think about me as the person in the story. So he takes these great characters of Scripture and he just makes them, they're very normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill characters just like you and me, trying to navigate this thing called life, which is exactly what you and I are trying to do. Navigate through this world that's called life as one person who is of faith. So how do we do that? So I want to take the next several months and I want to look at some of these great biblical characters from his perspective. And now there's a difference in where I struggled for the past 13 years. I've always wanted to do this, but I never was able to do it. I never took the time to do it because I realized there's such a difference between writing and preaching. There's a difference between writing and sermon. So he writes in narrative form. So how do you take something that is narrative form and turn it into a sermon? And that's always been something that was difficult for me. But I finally thought, well, I'm just going to give it a shot. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these characters and turn them from narrative to sermon so that we can gain something from that. And the reason why I want to do that is because I've been asking the question, what does prayer and the word look like? Well, it looks like these characters. Not characters that we know from history, but it looks like the characters that we find even in Scripture. And so that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to ask the question in this series, what does it look like? What does prayer look like in a person's life? What does the Word of God and a person being guided and directed by the Word of God, what does that actually look like in somebody's life, in a believer's life? So that's what we're going to try to accomplish in this series. On the jacket cover of his book, he writes this, they aren't all exactly what you'd call a list of who's who in purity and sainthood. In fact, some of their antics and attitudes would make you think of the Saturday night crowd at the county jail. What few halos there are among this cast of characters could probably use a bit of straightening and polish. Yet, strange as it may seem, it is this very humanness that makes them so refreshing. So refreshing that should you ever need a reminder of God's tolerance and love, you'd find it in these people. Moses, who murdered. Joseph, who strutted like a proud peacock. Matthew, the tax collector most people hated. Peter, who denied the Lord but got a second chance. If you ever wonder how in the world God could use you to change the world, then look at these people, common people in the hands of an uncommon God. Joseph certainly was just a common, run-of-the-mill, everyday, ordinary guy with an ordinary life. And look at what God called him to do. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Joseph, to whom she was engaged, he was a righteous man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So Joseph decided the best possible route for this story is to break off the engagement and to do it quietly because I don't want to embarrass her, but that's what I believe is the best route to take. Now, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up from the dream, he did exactly as the Lord commanded him to do. And he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. So the way that he deals with this character is to wonder, is to help us to get in Joseph's mindset. To wonder what is really going on. What are the questions that Joseph must have had? We don't really know what happened to Joseph. I mean, he was such a crucial part of the very beginning of the gospel, of the good news. This gospel story that started with the birth of Christ, he was such a crucial part. You would think that we would find him all throughout Jesus' life, but we really don't. We find him one other time, maybe, in Scripture. But I can't imagine what Joseph was going through and what he was thinking and how he felt as the story was unfolding. His son, his child, being born in a cattle stall with donkeys and sheep. When God sent an angel and spoke of a son being born, I'm confident that this is not how Joseph pictured it to be. But that was God's plan. And Joseph was obedient to that plan. And we've all been there. I said this in the early worship because I really want to drive this point home. Not only have we all been there, everybody in this sanctuary in early worship and everybody that's in here right now, I don't care how young or old you are, we're all there right now. There is not one person in the sound of my voice right now that doesn't have something in your life that you're going, oh, really? God? I don't know. Everybody. We all are. And they're as different as A is to Z. We are all faced with those times and those situations where obedience is going to be a step of faith in our lives, because in our own human mind, we just can't see it. Well, what I think should happen is this. I mean, you know, Mary and I, we're high school sweethearts. I even said in early worship, I bet they went to the prom together. And we're tight, we're close. I don't want to embarrass her. So let's just do this quietly. Boy, that's a smart. Now, there's not anybody that wouldn't say, from a cultural perspective, that's awfully kind of him. Isn't that sweet? I mean, and yet at the same time, he's pretty smart. I don't know what's going on here. And so, let's just kind of discreetly, let's just kind of let this thing go away. Smart, sweet, kind. And yet, God had a totally different plan. And that's God's plan. And Joseph was obedient to that plan. And we've all been there, caught between what God wants and God desires, and yet at the same time, what makes sense. Lucado says, we've all stared at the sky wondering if we're still on the right road. Yes, that is correct. But that's the beauty of the story. And that's the beauty of what we're trying to communicate today. The beauty is that Joseph ultimately obeyed. He didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know the whole story, but it didn't hinder his obedience to the Lord. And that's the whole point. He couldn't possibly see the whole picture. He didn't know the future, but he kept his faith in the Lord and kept moving forward. And that's your story, and that's my story, and that's God's call on your life and my life. God is still looking for people like Joseph, who believe even though we can't see. Common people in the hands of an uncommon God. Lucado writes, the Bethlehem sky is not the first to hear the pleadings of an honest heart, nor the last. And perhaps God didn't answer every question for Joseph, but he answered the most important one. Are you still with me, God? And through the cries, the first cries of the God child, the answer came. Yes. Yes, Joseph. Yes. I am still with you. Man, that is so powerful to me. Because my natural response is, not only do I not have all the answers, I don't even have most of them. A couple of weeks or months ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I was telling this in the early worship. Somebody in church came up to me and they said, and I can't remember what chapter it is, but somebody came up to me and they said, all right, Joel, I was reading in, I can't remember if it was a devotional book or it was for Sunday school or what, but he said, I was reading in Lamentations, I think it was Lamentations chapter 4, maybe later on, but I was reading the Lamentations, and where God said this to Israel, and here's what I'm trying to figure out, Joel. When God said that, and he goes through this whole question, and here's what I said to him, I went, there's a book named Lamentations in the Bible? Really? And he said, I think you're missing the point. I said, really, there's a book called Lamentations in the Bible? He said, yeah, there is. And I said, I don't know Lamentations. I don't know the answer to your question. Let me go back and read and study it for a little while. And I might be able, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to your question. I'm not even going to off the top of my head try to suggest that I have the answer. I don't know. I don't know a lot of the answers like that. Hey, Joel, I've got a job opportunity in another state, so I'd have to move, but I can stay here. And so which one is God's will for my life? I don't know. We'll pray together. We'll try to come to the answer. I'll be with you in this, but I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. There's a lot of things that I don't know the answer to, whether it's the scripture or whether it's God's will or God's desire or something that's going on in people's life. I don't know a lot of the answers, but I know that I can answer some of the things. Does God really care and does God really love me? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. Yes, I know the answer to this one. Yes, Joel, your sins are forgiven. I know the answer to that one. Yes, Joel, your name is written in heaven. I know the answer to that one. Yes, Joel, death has been defeated. When God raised Jesus from the grave on that third day, gloriously raised him from the dead, death was defeated, and you will live forever, as Jesus said to Martha, even though we know the body is going to die here on this earth, but you're going to live forever. I know the answer to that one. Yes, I know that my sin will never be held against me again, ever. I am in the hand of Jesus, and my sin will never, ever again be marked against me. I know the answer to that one. Yes, Joel, you are no longer condemned to a sinner's hell. I know the answer to that one. Yes, Joel, the gospel is real. The gospel is powerful, and it is powerful enough to save even a worthless, no-count sinner just like you. I know the answer to that one. See, I don't know the answer to Lamentations chapter 4. I don't know. And I don't know where you're supposed to go as far as your job is concerned. I mean, I'll pray with you about those things, but I don't know all these answers, but I know this. But I know this. The gospel is real. And the gospel is powerful, and it's real and powerful enough to save this sinner. So I don't know it all, but I know enough. And that's the point of Joseph. The point of Joseph is he didn't have all the answers. Can you imagine what he was thinking while Jesus was being born, his son being born in a cattle stall? So this is, he didn't know. But he was obedient. One of the great character scriptures, because he's an ordinary guy living an ordinary life in love with his high school sweetheart and called to an extraordinary situation and just simply asked to be obedient, and he was. And he leaves behind for us the beautiful picture of what obedience looks like. Not having all of the answers and yet at the same time following the voice of God. Because, church, that's the beautiful picture of the gospel. The beautiful picture of the gospel is I don't have all the answers, but I have enough to confess my sin, to put my trust and my faith in Jesus as my Savior and Lord, and to trust what God has done for me in Christ Jesus and to be saved from the condemnation of our sin. I know enough about that. So on this first Sunday of this series, we're going to simply ask him the question, what does it mean to be obedient? Obedience means following God no matter what. Is that where you are? Is that where I am? It's certainly where Joseph was. And he provides for us this great, great example. Now, I can't remember If I said it in both worship services or just one, last Sunday, nobody in early worship even dared to give me an answer on this. But I can't remember if I said it in both worship services, or I might have just said it in one. And then again, according to my family, it could be just like everything. I'm dreaming up things that I think that I've said at some point. But it seems like I said, in this next series, at the end of each of these sermons, I'm going to try to drive home the point. That's what prayer in the Word looks like. So, what does prayer and the Word look like just on a practical level? It looks like Joseph. That's what it looks like. Now, that's what prayer and the Word in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind, in somebody's life, that's a great illustration of what it actually looks like. So here's your homework assignment. I forgot to do this in early worship. Your homework assignment is real simple. Sometime today, get alone with the Lord. This is as simple as it can be. At some point today, get alone with the Lord and just simply say to the Lord, Lord, help me to be obedient this week. Simple. Lord, help me to be obedient this week. Father, thank you so much for the obedience of Joseph. And what a powerful part of the Christmas story. We oftentimes push it to the side because we want to get to the better part of the story. And there is a better part of the story. But at the same time, let's not forget all that Joseph went through. And yet, in the end result was that he was obedient to the Holy Spirit in his life. And there it is. That's what it looks like. That's what prayer and the Word looks like in a believer's life. So that's our prayer today, Father. Our prayer today is that we would confirm the gospel. And not only confirm the gospel, but then have the attitude of living obediently for the gospel. If there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, today is the day of salvation for them. Obedience. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, today is the day of obedience for us. In Christ we pray. Amen. So the invitation that we're going to sing is Trust and Obey. If you've never trusted Christ, you've heard the invitation, and we encourage you to come and follow Jesus. If you need to come and pray or join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that now as we stand and as we sing.
Do His good will, He abides.
Please be seated for just a moment. Will, what do we have first today? Sorry about that, Will. All right, the Bowers, Jody, Chad, Kennedy, and Desmond came to join with our congregation. They've all followed Christ in believers' baptism, and so they come in to, they came to say that they want to unite with us. So the next time you see the Bowers, make sure that you say a word of encouragement to them. All right, next. Our nursing home outreach. All right, so that's this Saturday. This Saturday in the fellowship hall, we will put bags together at 9 o'clock and then take those bags to Barfield and Marshall Manor. And so we still need a lot of stuff. So grab one of these. Buy only the things that are on this list because we're simply trying to follow what the nursing homes want us to get. We don't want to buy and bring a bunch of stuff that they're not going to be able to use and throw out anyway. So grab one of these, purchase the stuff. You can bring it, put it in the office. We'll take it up there for you. You can put it, take it all the way to the fellowship hall. We have it set up in sections and you can put it there. But we still need a good number of things from this. And then Saturday morning, 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Last year we had about 20 or 30, if I remember correctly. And we would just grab a bag and we'd just go down and put all the stuff in the bag, and then we took the bags to the nursing home. So, 9 o'clock Saturday, encourage you to get some stuff this week, more that we need more, and then be here to help us on Saturday, all right? Mature adults, got a bunch signed up for next Tuesday, Valentine's Day, 11 a.m., Gunner's Landing. Old Lord's Supper Table is the sign-up sheet, so got a lot signed up for that. So go ahead and sign up if you want to go and be a part of that. All right, and then our church app, Church by Ministry One Go. If you go to your app store and you hit Church by Ministry One Go, there'll be about four or five churches. There are about four or five of us churches here in the area that use this same software. So you have to make sure that you choose First Baptist Church, and then you have to have a email connected to the church office. And then once you have an email connected to the church office, you can then set up your account. And then you'll be on the account, on the app, and you can just scroll through and the directory, giving, all different things, what we're doing, our calendar, all the things that you would find on that app. And so I encourage you to get that. But once again, it's email driven. You have to have an email with our church office, all right? And that same thing, just download that app, and that'll get you to the app. Ken, what do you have?
I don't have anything.
All right, this week, we've got deacons meeting, normal time, 6 o'clock, and then also baby bottles. So if you haven't gotten a baby bottle, there's still some right out here. Still have a basket full of them in front of the library. Grab your baby bottle. I after Sunday school, I walked through the office, looked over at Karen's desk. I think there's about 20 on your desk. So people are filling them up, bringing them in. That's great. If you haven't done so, please make sure that you do. Ken, how are we going to go?
We're going to end with To God Be the Glory.
To God Be the Glory. Let's all stand and close.